Joining us now in our studios is Rice County Sheriff Jesse Thomas. Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning, Jeff. Good morning, listeners.
Thank you so much for coming in today. Boy, it's I think the last time we had you in, it was, I don't know, a blizzard, or we just had a lot of snow, or it was like 90 below zero. I think you had a little bit easier of a time coming in today.
Yeah, it's still a little chilly, but I'll take 10 degrees in first week of February any day.
Yeah, I'm going to have you move that microphone a little closer.
Right.
There we go. Let's start off by talking about, first of all, just the weather. You know, we're halfway through the 2022 portion of the winter. We have one more month left, hopefully, and then it turns to spring. What about, you know, ice safety? We've talked about that last time that you were in. We've had some cold weather. We've had some warm weather. But out there on the ice, what's it like?
I always say the ice is never 100% safe, Jeff. A couple weeks ago, we had the snow, and then you had water, and then you had your ice. So that snow acts as a blanket, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it keeps ice from forming up is how it should be. And then with this cold snap, I haven't been out on the lake since we had the, you know, 15 below weather there for a while.
You haven't had any calls, though? Or
no, we haven't had any calls. And I'd like to remind people, if they do go through the ice, they should call us. It puts everybody's life in jeopardy when we have to respond to something that we don't know what's going on. And my staff have to go out on a lake that the ice might not be safe in that area because somebody broke through. Because we always react as if somebody's in the water and we want to save that person.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do go through, please let us know so we can slow down a response and then we'll deal with it properly.
What about snowmobiles? We've had a banner year, best one we've had probably in a few years for snowmobiles. A lot of snow. Have you had much? Have you seen a lot of traffic out in the rural areas? And has that been as safe as the fishing season?
We've had a lot of snowmobile traffic. We've also had a lot of our staff out doing snowmobile patrols. Mm-hmm. We have grant money from the state to the DNR, and so we. On weekends and once in a while on a weekday, we'll put a couple staff out on our snowmobiles. And we have not had a lot of, actually, I don't think we've had any crashes or any injuries related to snowmobile events. So it's been a good season for us. Knock on the desk, and hopefully we continue that way.
You know, one of the things we want to talk about today is staffing, and not so much with the sheriff's department, the patrol officers out there, deputies out there, but within the corrections facilities. Let's start off with the people who are out on patrol. Are you fully staffed for?
Yeah, fortunately, we are fully staffed on the patrol side of operations. Our last hiree just finished his FTO a month or two ago. So we're fully staffed on that side of operations. Corrections, so jailers, we're about five short right now. And I got approval to hire three additional this July 1st. And then hopefully in January I get approval to hire the last two, which we have to hire a couple extra staff for the new facility, which is supposed to open roughly August of 2024. So that puts me at about 10 correctional officers I have to hire in the next roughly 14 months.
Wow. All right. And that's a decent paying gig. That's a good job. Talk about that.
It starts at $26.11, and then with
that's an hourly rate.
Hourly rate.
Mm-hmm.
Statistically, most of our staff get between 40 and 80 hours of overtime. And we don't have forced overtime like some places. We can if we need it, but we haven't had to go that route yet. We also have some union negotiated benefits in that package, that like uniform maintenance, shift pay, holiday check. So that starting package for the minimum qualifications, which are a high school education or a GED, and a valid driver's license. And we like experience, but you don't need it, and 'cause we train you. So that starting package is right around that $57,000-$58,000 a year.
That's a pretty decent paying job.
Yeah, I started in '96 as a jailer back then,
mm-hmm.
at $8 and something an hour. So It kind of puts things in perspective.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully your salary has grown a little bit.
It's gone up.
30 plus years or close to 30 years. Let's talk about the job itself. Now, we have a new jail that's being built, a new correctional facility, a safety center, if you will, whatever you'd like to call that. Not done yet, but it will be soon. In the meantime, you're dealing with kind of cramped spaces in the old jail. Talk about that, how that affects the prisoners, the inmates there, and the relationship that they have with the jailers, the correction officers.
Sure. So if you look at our current facility, the reason we had to build a new facility is because of our programming space, which is the time that the inmates are out of their cell, you know, whether that's working on their GED or going to like a program such as AA or Bible study or whatever you want to deem that. We also don't have a lot of space for recreation. So in a new facility, we have a larger area so they can get out, run, maybe play basketball, handball, whatever that might be. We don't have that ability here. So now when they get frustrated, their target is our staff, all right? So that's why our staff have to be able to talk and de-escalate, which we send them the training for. So what we've seen from other facilities that built new and had more programming is the confrontation between the detainee and the staff have gone way down. So that's kind of our hopes with the new facility, and it'll be a nice thing to have, and hopefully everything works out.
All right. How is that coming along?
So they started putting up walls here a couple of weeks ago. So Welsh concrete, bring the preformed walls in on a semi-flatbed. They pick them up with a crane, and they put them in place. Each wall is roughly 22,000 pounds, so they can only bring like one at a time. And it's coming along pretty well. They couldn't work on last Friday because with the weather, with the trucks, the MnDOT wouldn't let them travel. And then on Monday and Tuesday this week, it was too cold to weld, so they didn't do much. But yesterday, they put up a few, so it's coming along.
It looks like the weather is going to bounce back.
Yeah, we've had a nice stretch coming up after Friday here. It'll be warm up for next week.
Yeah, and hopefully they'll be able to get a lot done in that time. In the meantime, you've got, it was a couple of years ago, actually several years ago, that the state mandated you either build a new jail or we're shutting you down. And it's because of the lack of facilities. Are things any worse now? You've got COVID that's thrown in there. You've got cramped spaces. Has there been a, you know, different atmosphere? Is it any better or worse than it was, let's say, in 2019?
Well, our average daily population in the jail in 2019, it was that like 47 was our average daily population. I just checked for 2022, that number was 35. And then in 21, it was only like right around 28. So it's starting to trend back up. I think it's going to keep going up. And at some point in time, you know, before we get to our new facility, I still have to talk to the DLC to get an extension because our extension is only good until June of this year. They weren't going to shut us down. They're just going to make us a 90-day facility, which means the two homicide suspects that I have in jail wouldn't still be able to be here. They'd have to be at a different facility. And depending on their level of need, sometimes that's $60 a day. Sometimes it's $127 a day, depending on where they have to go. So that adds up as well.
And that all comes out of your budget?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I can see where that, hopefully when things, the new jail comes, you'll have, won't have that type of problem. Is there going to be like a detox center or any mental health facilities or anything in this?
So there won't be a detox center. There we will not have a true mental health facility.
Mm-hmm.
We will have four cells off of our intake that are softer, so the colors are different. The flooring's different, it has some natural light, so that way it addresses some mental health needs, but it's not a full-time fix.
Mm-hmm.
There is talk of a company coming into the city of Faribault that are going to have a detox facility, hopefully in about 3 years from now, 2 or 3 years.
And that's a private company?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. Is that would they work? Would they like partner up with law enforcement or work in some type of collaboration with law enforcement officials? Or
I think for the most part, everybody does work with law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're starting to understand that over the years, everything's kind of got pushed on law enforcement, right? So when the state shut down their facilities, where does everybody go? They put them in jail. So then we take them up to the hospital. Hospital says, well, they shouldn't be here. The best place for them is in jail, which that's your opinion, not mine, because they shouldn't be in a jail if they have a lot of mental health issues.
Have you heard presentations or anything from this company? Have you had conversations with them? Do you have a good idea what they plan on doing?
Yeah, I do. I just can't remember the name of the company off the top of my head. So,
but so on private, where would they get funded? I mean, where would the revenue sources come from? Would it come from government entities, I believe?
Some will come from the state, some mm-hmm. from local. And then sometimes the people that go to or visit these facilities also have medical insurance,
mm-hmm.
medical assistance. So I don't see a lot of our people we deal with have private insurance, but most of them are qualified for medical assistance.
Their business model, I'm presuming this is not a startup company. Do they have some other facilities that they already have in place?
Yep.
Where are those at? Have they been, I guess, successful? I presume they would be.
I'm trying to think of where it's at, Jeff. You got me on.
Is it here in Minnesota or Midwest?
Yes.
Okay.
It's here.
All right. Once again, Rice County Sheriff Jesse Thomas is with us. Sheriff, is there anything else you'd like to bring up while we have you here?
No, just make sure you guys are out driving around paying attention to what's going on. If you see something, make sure you call us. It might not appear that suspicious, but some little things do add up. Since it's been cold out, make sure you take care of your pets.
All right. Thank you so much for coming in. Much appreciated. And we'll talk to you again next month.
Sounds good, Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Rice County Sheriff Jesse Thomas. You're listening to 95.1 FM and AM 1080 KYMN Northfield.